Yeah. Are you awake this morning?
Yes.
I just told them to turn on some more lights because I'm afraid you're going to fall asleep. It's a little dark in here. We don't want to give you any excuse to fall asleep. And I will try to be as exciting as I possibly can to keep you awake. We'll see if that happens. Well, I have some exciting things to talk about this morning, and it doesn't get better than to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, those things that God gives us to relate to each other and to become a complete body of Christ. And here's what I want you to do as I speak today. Would you begin to listen to each gift, and I'm going to talk about them individually. I'm going to talk about how you basically know what gift you have. Would you listen for the one that you think fits you best? And have that in mind, and we're going to talk about how to use it in the body of Christ. So this will be fun. It will be fun. You don't look like you're having fun yet. There you go. There's a few smiles. I probably should have you stand up and run around the block a few times. That could maybe wake you up. Huh? All right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you've given each one of us spiritual gifts, and we thank you that we can know what they are and we can use them as we interact with each other. Lord, we invite you to speak today. We invite you, Lord, to speak to our hearts and to begin to show us what spiritual gifts we actually have and how to use them with each other. And so, Lord, we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a spiritual gift basically is a gift of divine nature. It's a gift that God gives us to be able to be a unified body of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been through all kinds of weird things trying to understand spiritual gifts. When I was younger, and that was a very, very long time ago, when I was in high school, and I graduated from high school in 1970, probably before most of you were born, huh? But anyway, when I was in high school, people started talking about spiritual gifts, and they really hadn't too much before that time. Churches were a little more boring, and they hadn't really talked about any kind of power that God wanted to give us, so people were trying to find out about spiritual gifts. And I remember I used to go to some meetings where people were trying to use their spiritual gifts. And of course, the one gift that everybody wanted to talk about was the gift of speaking in tongues. That was the one that seemed the most exciting that everybody wanted. And it got really weird. You know what I'm saying? People started doing all kinds of very strange things. And I thought, well, if this is something that God is doing, then I'd really like to do that. And so they had a call to come forward in the church one time, and if for anybody that wanted spiritual gifts, and I thought that would be wonderful. I went right up, and so this man laid hands on me, and he said, "Okay, begin to speak in tongues." I thought, cool. Except nothing happened. And he said, "Well, go ahead." And I didn't know how to go ahead. And then he said, "Why don't you begin to repeat the letters of the alphabet and start saying them faster and faster and faster, and then pretty soon you'll be speaking in tongues." Well, that sounded a little strange to me, but I thought, okay, I guess I could try that. So I started saying the letters of the alphabet faster and faster and faster. And you know what I accomplished that day? I didn't know I could say the letters of the alphabet that fast. That's all I accomplished that day. I went home extremely discouraged. Very discouraged. Because I really felt that, you know, people were getting spiritual gifts and I didn't get one. I really was counting on God to give me something, to fill me, to somehow do something miraculous in my heart that was supernatural, and nothing was happening. It's pretty discouraging. I remember going home and laying in bed that night and beginning to cry, saying, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I want to do anything that would serve you, and I'd like to just have more of you. Couldn't I do this? And so in my bed, I began to repeat the alphabet again as fast as I could, and it didn't work again. How many of you have had some kind of strange experiences like that before? Anybody? Where somebody's told you something like that? And you get discouraged, don't you? Because it seems like other people are getting a little bit of the Holy Spirit and you're not getting any. And then I began to read the Bible and something began to become plain to me. There wasn't just one spiritual gift. There was a lot of them. You know what I'm saying? The Bible started talking about not only tongues and interpretation, but prophecy and teaching and mercy and serving and administration and all of these gifts that I didn't know anything about. Well, I was traveling with an evangelist way, way back then in the 70s, and I was playing the piano and leading worship from the piano, and this evangelist was talking about spiritual gifts and was teaching about all these things, and I would lead worship from the piano, and then I would sit down, and then these evangelists would speak, and I just sat and listened. It was very hard for me to just sit and listen, because I really like to talk. I really do. You already know that, don't you? And it was hard to listen. And so we were having lunch one day, and I told this evangelist, I said, you know, it's very difficult for me to simply listen, because I always want to be up there talking. And the evangelist said, you know, you have the gift of administration. You like to run things. You like to be a little more in control. You like to see all the pieces come together, and this is your spiritual gift. And you know, from that point on, I realized that that was the strongest gift that God had given me. I've used it ever since. I didn't know that. And I think, folks, we become so confused in the body of Christ that we don't use our giftings together, and we don't do what God has asked us to do. And we look at gifts like tongues, which is a wonderful gift if you have it, or a gift of healing, which is a great gift if you have it. And we think those are the important ones, and we don't really recognize the rest of them. You know what I'm saying? So today, mostly, I want to talk about the rest of them, because I want you to see what you have. Now, here's the greatest thing. And I've used this illustration before here, but I want to use it one more time. Those of you that haven't been here before, I want you to catch the significance and the magnitude of this example. You know, one of the greatest events of my life happened just a couple of weeks ago when I sat in a premiere showing of The Passion, Mel Gibson's new movie. And folks, let me tell you that when you see the movie, it will change your life. You won't be the same when you leave the movie. And I've been a Christian for 46 years now. And I know the story very well. I've preached it many times. And it is absolutely one of the most profound things I've ever seen. Absolutely. So be prepared for it and take as many people as you know to go see it. It's amazing. But as I was watching that movie, just the fact that Jesus Christ died for me, that he suffered the way he did, and they didn't leave any of that out. It's all very graphically portrayed. But it occurred to me that this is such a significant event that the event itself changes us forever. But as Christ died on the cross, folks, an amazing thing happened. Before Jesus died on the cross, there was the temple. And the temple had many stages of worship in it, and many stages of offering in it. People would leave different kinds of offerings, and then they were able to atone for their sins. You know, the problem between us and God has always been sin. a holy God cannot look upon sin. And so there was a spot in the temple, in the very back of the temple, that was called the Holy of Holies. It was the place, basically, where the Holy Spirit lived. God's Spirit lived in that place, behind this big curtain, or a veil. And it was a fearsome thing to go back there. In fact, only the high priest was able to go back into the Holy of Holies. But only after he had gone through all of the ceremonies, that he had actually atoned for his own sin, and that he was blameless in the sight of God. Now, they also tied a rope around his leg, and they tied a bell on him, and if that bell stopped ringing, they knew he was probably dead, right? That he had died before an awesome God. So, and they just have to, you know, pull him back out and send another high priest back. So that was a problem. That was the power of God behind this place. Now, here's the exciting thing, and please catch this, because this is of huge significance to everyone sitting here. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ died, the next event after he died, and he said, "It is finished." By the way, it's still finished. When he said, "It is finished," the Bible says that that curtain that separated the Holy of Holies, it tore in half from the top to the bottom. God tore it from the top to the bottom, and that separation was gone. What's the significance? God said, "You can now come to me personally. You don't have to go through anybody else." Now, Paul then said, you know what that actually means? It means that your body, you, are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Catch that for a minute. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, which means that that same awesome power that was behind the Holy of Holies, the same awesome power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, now lives in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to repeat that story this afternoon again. It bears repeating twice. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of those aspects this afternoon. But here's the thing that I want to leave you with today. When we talk about the Holy Spirit and we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, that Spirit that God gave us, that Spirit that we now have inside of us, God said, "I want you to do this together." When I gave you the Holy Spirit, I gave you all of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't give you all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I gave you some of the gifts. 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 And when you all get together, all the gifts are there. And he says that those gifts all together are called the body of Christ. You know what other word we use for it? Church. That's what the church is. So this bench that you're sitting on, this building that we're operating in today, is not the church. You are the church. God doesn't care where you're at. See, sitting in a building like this, sitting in the church doesn't mean you're a Christian. It's like sitting in a garage doesn't mean you're a car. It's not where we are, it's who we are. So God gave each one of us spiritual gifts. And he said, as you each have spiritual gifts, and as you use them together, you become the body of Christ. And that body is what allows us to grow spiritually and to begin to move forward. So, I have to come back to this little box here because my brains are in here. Those of you that know me know that that is true. All right. So, a spiritual gift is empowerment. It's the ability to serve, not where you serve. It's not a position. It's not an office. It's the ability to serve. And also, spiritual gifts, folks, are given to every Christian. Every Christian. If you're a Christian today, you are not without spiritual gifts. And listen, you're also responsible to use whatever gifts God has given you in the body of Christ. Now, also, a spiritual gift is given to you by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Pastor Bob, that kind of goes without saying. No, it doesn't. Because you see, when I was standing there at the altar of that church, being told that if I just said the alphabet really fast, I would speak in tongues, that wasn't from God. The very thing that I didn't do when I went up to seek spiritual gifts was to ask God what he had given me. That makes sense, doesn't it? You see, it isn't up to me or to anyone else to determine what spiritual gift you have. It's up to God to determine what he gives you and to you to find out what it is. Okay? So here's a scripture. Romans chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And if you don't, you can simply listen. Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to begin to read with verse 5. And here it talks about seven spiritual gifts. Now, there are more spiritual gifts than that. But a couple of places in the New Testament, the Bible talks about seven spiritual gifts in particular when it talks about using them in the body of Christ together. And I found in my experience that everyone actually has one of these seven gifts that seems to be a little stronger than the other in their lives. One that they use in harmony with the rest of the body. And here they are. Starting with verse 5 in Romans chapter 12. So we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, the Messiah. And individually, we are parts one of another and mutually dependent on each other as well. Did you catch that part? In other words, we're part of the body and we each depend on each other to be part of the body. Having gifts that differ according to the grace that God has given us, he says, so let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the portion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who is teaching, to teaching. He who exhorts or encourages, he who contributes, he who administrates, and he who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. There they are. Prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, giving, administration, and mercy. Seven of them. This is Romans chapter 12. There are other places in the New Testament where it lists the same seven gifts. So I want to go through them individually, and I want to show you how they work in the body of Christ. Now listen carefully, because I want you to begin now to discover which one of these you might have. Are you ready? Let's start with prophecy. Now, prophecy is one of those gifts that's very misunderstood. We always think that a prophet is one of those people who is able to tell you what's going to happen in the future. Is that true? A prophet is a person who says, I believe that you're going to be a great evangelist, or I believe that your band is going to minister to millions, or those are things I hear all the time. But anyway, you know, people that talk about things that are going to happen, and although there are times when that does happen, the gift of prophecy in the New Testament is a whole different word than the gift of prophecy in the Old Testament. A prophet in the Old Testament was a person who had a message from God to bring to the people. And he was stuck on that message. Everywhere he went, he gave the same message. And when you study the prophets of the Old Testament, you see that they were foretelling things that were about to happen, and they each had a specific thing that they talked about over and over again. Well, Jesus came and fulfilled many of those prophecies. Well, he fulfilled all of the prophecies. But the New Testament word, prophecy, instead of foretelling, means forthtelling. In other words, somebody who is able to speak powerfully from God to a congregation. It doesn't mean that they have any new material or that they predict the future. It simply means that they are able to proclaim God's truth with power, with clarity, for correction, for repentance, for encouragement, whatever. So here's what this person is like. They have the ability to see the character and the motives of people. They're sometimes the first person who will spot somebody who is not sincere and somebody who's a phony. They have the capacity to define and to hate evil and a desire for inward evidences to show that they're a Christian. And this person is usually very direct, very frank, and very persuasive. The gift of prophecy. Well, then we have the gift of teaching. Also a very misunderstood gift. Teaching is the divine ability to understand, to clearly explain, and to apply the Word of God in the lives of the listeners. This person usually believes that their gift is the best gift. You know, almost everybody believes their gift is the best one, but this person really believes that. This person always believes that nobody would be able to get along without them because their gift is very important. And it is important, not the most important, but it is very important. They enjoy a lot of research. They're the ones that are reading book after book and studying and studying and studying. How many of you enjoy studying the Bible? I mean, really studying and digging in. See, if you're one of those, you might be a person with the gift of teaching. Now, I want to tell you something. I do not have the gift of teaching. And if I would have started the seminar today saying, what gift do you think I have out of those? Most of you probably would have said you have the gift of teaching because you teach all the time. I really don't. In fact, I hate studying. You know what I enjoy doing? I enjoy reading everybody else's research. I enjoy it when people do all the work and they just hand me their notes. I love that. You know what I'm saying? I'm a lousy studier. In fact, my favorite way to read a book is on tape. As I'm driving, I stick it in. I do read a lot of books. I read 2 or 3 books a week, but my favorite thing is to listen to them and do it that way. But, you know, here's a person, the teacher, is not a person who is necessarily good at speaking. They're the person who is very good at studying and rightly dividing the word of truth. See what I'm saying? So some of you that raised your hand that you really enjoy that studying and really digging in and researching, okay, the Greek word means this and the Hebrew word means that, you may very well be a teacher. I find it extremely interesting and exciting. I don't want to study it, though. Also, this person is able to present truth in a very systematic way. I once asked a guy that was on my staff who had the gift of teaching to teach a Bible study in the book of Romans. And so he began. 6 months later, he was on verse 5 of chapter 1. 6 months later. And people were dropping out of the class. Because he would get to the study and he'd say, okay, for tonight we're going to study this word. This word, not this verse, not this chapter, this word. And he would go through excruciating, at least a lot of the people listening to him, excruciating expository study on what that word meant from the original language. That's a teacher. Well, I'm thankful for them. It's because of them that we really do understand the Word of God, that we know what those words mean. We're able to do this. But this person, again, has greater joy in researching the truth than they do in presenting it. I have much greater joy in presenting it than in researching it. That's why I'm not a good teacher. Then there's the gift of encouragement. I like this one. I like the people who have encouragement. I love to have them around me, because they're the ones that really make you feel good about what you're doing and help you to define where you're going. Encouraging you, slapping you on the back and saying, you can do it, let's do it together. And this person has the divine ability, and again, these are all given from the Holy Spirit, to reassure, to strengthen, to affirm those who may be weak or maybe wavering in their faith. So this person has a lot of joy in seeing people take specific steps of action in their spiritual life. And then there's the gift of giving. Did you know that not everybody has the gift of giving? Boy, there are some churches where I think the pastor assumes that everybody in the church has the gift of giving. You know what I'm saying? You ever been in those meetings where they're trying to raise money and he says, okay, who will give, you know, the first $100 or whatever? And people begin to give accordingly. Pressure appeals. You know, you feel like, and you've all been in places like this where you feel like if you don't put a lot of money in the offering plate that you're not somehow as spiritual as everybody else. And it's assumed that everybody has a gift of giving. But there are people with a specific gift of giving. You know who they are? They're the people that have really become very good at making money. You know people like that? It seems like they're always good at starting businesses, at saving money, of investing wisely. I'm not one of those. I like those people, but I'm not one of those. But there are some people that are very good at this. And, you know, and we see them as non-spiritual people many times. You know, my brother is one of these. He is extremely intelligent when it comes to finances. And he has a big company, and he makes a lot of money, and he lives in a huge, huge house, and he's very, very successful. But it's also his spiritual gift. And he's able to help a lot of ministries. He's able to do a lot of things. And he's very good at this. And a lot of people, he went to seminary. He studied for the ministry and went into this. And a lot of people think, well, isn't that sad that he didn't go, you know, begin to take a church, you know, and become a pastor? But he's really doing what God called him to do. And though you may be one of those people, too, that are good in this area, again, it's a spiritual gift. Let's go on. The gift of leadership. And I understand this one because this is the one I have. This is the one where you always want to do everything. That's me. I'm getting better at this. But I used to kind of run over everybody a lot more. I used to have to do everything myself. You know people like this. And it's a great gift if you know how to control it. But the gift of leadership is a divine ability, again, to instill vision, to motivate people, to direct people to accomplish what God has given us to do. So this person is able to see long-range goals, they're able to clarify where things are going, and able to begin to come up with points of direction. And then we have the gift of mercy. Gift of mercy. You understand that one pretty well, don't you? This is a person who is able to minister and cheerfully and appropriately take care of people who are suffering, usually. They're the ones, when you're having a bad day, that come up to you and say, are you all right? Is everything okay? You know those people, don't you? Gift of mercy. They have the ability to feel the atmosphere of a place. They walk into a room like this with lots of people and everybody is talking and laughing and having a good time, and somebody is back in the corner is having a bad day, sitting by themselves, looking a little lonely. And when this person with the gift of mercy walks into the room, what do they see? All the laughing, happy people? No. They see that person that's sitting right back there who is lonely and needs some little bit of help. The gift of mercy. It's a great gift, isn't it? And then finally, the gift of serving. And can I tell you also that not everybody has this gift? We always feel guilty if we're not serving in the body of Christ. Now, I had a pastor one time that I volunteered to be part of the congregation. I was doing another ministry, and so I wasn't pastoring a church at the time, and I said, you know, I'm willing to help whatever you have for me to do. And he said, would you clean the toilets? He says, because if you're humble enough to serve and clean the toilets, then maybe, you know, you'd be good to do something else too. And I said, no, I won't. I'm not above cleaning toilets. I do that in my own home. But that isn't my gift. And he didn't understand spiritual gifts. Now, there are some people that really enjoy cleaning, that enjoy straightening up. When we're all done in here, somebody will come in and clean up after you, some of the little things that you've left in here. Now, it won't be me. You know why? Because I never notice. I don't see those things that need to be done. I don't notice when something needs to be cleaned. Some of you don't notice that, but some of you do. And there's a gift of serving in that capacity that's real important. But folks, not every one of us are servers either. And I think sometimes we feel guilty when we're not, don't we? We should all be able to clean toilets. Well, let me put this in some good context. If I have imaginary water, which I don't, but if I had water and I poured some water into this glass, and then as I'm speaking, I accidentally knock the glass onto the floor and the water spills and the glass breaks, all of you would react differently to that. Let me tell you what you'd do. The person with the gift of administration would say, Pastor Bob, that was kind of a stupid thing to do, but let's do this. Why don't you be in charge of making sure there's plenty of water in this pitcher? And why don't you be in charge of pouring new water into the glass? And would you be in charge of putting the glass back on the table? And they would organize that to be done. Administration. The person who has a gift of mercy, what would they do? Anybody? What's that? Actually, they wouldn't, probably. The person with the gift of serving would do that. The person with the gift of serving would clean it up. What's that? That's true. Probably make sure you hadn't hurt yourself. Probably would come along and make sure that you feel okay about it. You know, that you don't take it personally, that, you know, and they'd probably say something like, don't feel bad, I've done that same thing before. You know, wouldn't they do that? And like you said, the person with the gift of serving would be the first one to jump up and clean it up. Because somebody told them to? No, it's just what they do. Also, usually the person with the gift of serving are people who have tidier homes as well. Everything is pretty much in place. Again, not mine. Person with the gift of encouragement would put their arm around me and say, you know, Pastor Bob, I believe you can do better in the future. I think you can do better. I don't think you need to make that mistake again. And I'm encouraging you not to do that anymore. Why don't you go on and begin to live above that problem? Person with the gift of giving would do what? Buy me a new glass. Right. Here, I bought this for you. What's that? It's a good thing I don't hear very well, isn't it? So, the person with the gift of teaching would say, now, Pastor Bob, do you realize that when you placed that glass right there, it was in your way? I'm not surprised you knocked it off. because you put it in the wrong place. You see, now if you put that glass over here and you put the pitcher over here, when you move your arms, you're not going to hit it. That's the right way to do it. Gift of teaching. The gift of prophecy. What do you think about that one? Now again, this is not foretelling the future. The person is not going to say, I prophesy that you're going to do that again tomorrow. It's not the gift. This is a little tougher. It really has more to do with the personality type of the person with the gift of prophecy. A person with the gift of prophecy would probably come up to me and say, Pastor Bob, that was really a stupid thing to do. That's their personality type. They're usually very direct, very frank, very matter of fact. And they said that was a very stupid thing to do. Don't do that again. Now, which one were you? How many of you kind of see yourself in the administration mode, where you'd probably organize everything to make sure it was done right next time? How many of you think that that might be you? Okay? A few of you. You know, you don't find too many people who are administrators. They're very rare. It's a good thing. Otherwise, we'd be trying to organize each other all the time. It wouldn't be good. Now, how about the gift of teaching? Would you be one of those people that would say, you know, if you put it over here instead, let me show you how to do this? How many of you think you might have the gift of teaching? There's a few of you, okay? Now, how many of you think you might have the gift of mercy? That person that comes over and says, don't feel bad, I've done that before too. How many? See, always, that's the biggest one, isn't it? How about the gift of prophecy? Pastor Bob, that was really a stupid thing to do. Don't do that anymore. Would you? Thanks a lot. Would you? Who else? Gift of prophecy. Raise your hand one more time. And I want you to keep your hand up for just a minute. And those people that are sitting beside you, are they right? Do they have that gift? Is that the way they are? Jeff? Yvonne's like that? He's like that? Are you? They're shaking their head. Yep, they're like that. You don't want to spill anything around them, do you? How about the gift of serving? The person that jumps up and cleans up the mess. You're afraid to raise your hand for that one. How many? Who has the gift of serving? A few of you do. We don't want to admit it, though, do we? Somebody's going to ask you to do something. All right. How about the gift of giving? Buying a new glass. Cool. All right. Well, you see how easy that is? I mean, honestly. It really has to do with our personality types. It's not so hard. Folks, spiritual gifts don't have to be something that you just kind of cosmically can't figure out. It's not, may the force be with you. They're tangible, they're real, and they operate in the body of Christ. Now, isn't it cool that just a simple example that we just had here today is really the example of how the body of Christ works together? How we function as together as a body. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and I'll make this a lot more this afternoon. But that's why the church so many times fails so miserably. It's because, you see, what you and I are doing right now is not the best method. The best thing is when we're all part of the body, when we all have an opportunity to share our spiritual gifts and make each other stronger. And you will not grow simply listening to somebody else talk all the time. The times when you'll grow the most are the times when you use your spiritual gifts with other people who are using theirs with you, and you have the body of Christ, all of the spiritual gifts together. Well, I want to do one last thing with you. I want to take this into a Bible study situation for just a minute. What happens when these people get together and they study the Bible? Well, there's a person who has a gift of leadership. Usually the person who organizes the Bible study, organizes the group, finds a place where they can study and begins to kind of become the moderator, so to speak, of a group that gets together. But all these spiritual gifts come out when you begin to study the Bible. I want to take a simple verse, John 3:16. Most of you know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that's a great verse, isn't it? And if I were to teach you the verse, I would teach you my favorite parts of the verse. But we'd always leave something out. Because there's a lot of things to this verse that can be talked about. Let's take all those spiritual gifts, and I want to show you what parts of the verse they would use and what parts they would be attracted to real quickly, and then we're going to be done. A person who has a gift of mercy, what do you suppose they would see in this verse? For God so loved the world. Loved. That's their thing, isn't it? They feel the love. God so loved the world that he gave, there's the gift of giving, gave his only Son, that whosoever believes, there's the gift of teaching, believes, what does believe mean? They'd go back into the original Greek and they'd say, well, believe means to trust in, to rely on, to cling to, and they'd go through that whole thing, and that's the key word in John 3:16, and they would expound on that. A person who has a gift of encouragement would look at the verse and say, whoever believes in him, whoever. You see, anybody can. You see, even you can. That's the encouragement word, isn't it? You see where I'm getting at, you guys? Now, how sad it is when we study the Bible with just one person teaching us. You are all very important in the body of Christ. And as you work together with your spiritual gifts, an exciting thing happens. An exciting thing happens. You have balance and you have completeness. And all of you are part of that process. So if you think that being a Christian means that you can simply come in and sit down like you are today and listen to somebody else speak and then go home, you're wrong. God didn't create you to be a Lone Ranger Christian. He created you to be part of the body of Christ, and you are important. Well, once again, we never have enough time to really go through everything that we could. Usually when I teach spiritual gifts, I spend 3 days teaching, and we don't have 3 days to teach this one thing. But that's it in a nutshell. And my teaching on spiritual gifts, actually, we're putting it on the website, the audio on a website, so you can take the whole thing and kind of look for that on the Sanctuary website in the future. If you'd like to learn the whole thing, it'll be there, just whoever wants to do it. But spiritual gifts, a very important thing. I hope today that you will begin to not only be aware of your spiritual gift, but you will look for ways to use them. All right. Let's close in prayer. Would you stand with me? Lord, thank you that we're all one body. But Lord, in this body are separate gifts that you've given us, Lord, not only to edify ourselves, but to edify those around us. And Lord, there are so many people here who have not been using their spiritual gifts together, that didn't really see their own importance in the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that as a result of today, that they would begin at least to be aware that they're an integral, important part of the body of Christ, that their spiritual gifts do matter. And as we collectively come together in the body of Christ, we realize, Lord, that we're important. Each one of us are important. Lord Jesus, we thank you that when you died on the cross, that you said it was finished, and it is. And that curtain tore, and now we are actually the recipient of your grace and your Holy Spirit. We are the temple of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we're thankful for that. It means that we have your power, we have your authority, and we have your wisdom within us. Lord, I pray that we'd be aware again of our spiritual gifts and use them with each other. Lord, give us insight, give us revelation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I think lunch is next, is it?